and as Sakshimata. And you can see when you read Chaitanya Charitamrita how similar and intense their mood of loving service is to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to Krishna, Krishna's Leela. Now, there's other devotees who also have this relationship of Krishna as Vatsala Ras. It's not limited to just his parents. As we were talking before, the elderly cowherd men and women of Raja also have the same affection and attachment. And also in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Lord Nityananda himself, his relationship with Lord Chaitanya is a mix of servitude and friendship. And Advaita, he exhibits his ecstasy in fraternity and servitude. So there's sometimes the rasas, the loving mellows, are mixed. There may be more than one mellow that the devotee has. But the Krishna is so kind that he reciprocates with our attachment and our natural feelings of affection of how we want to love him and how we want to serve him. It's inconceivable, and yet at the same time, it's completely natural that this would be the topmost relationship or the experience for us to have with God, with our origin, with our Lord of Lords, is that we can have a relationship that's completely natural and desirous. But where else in the world can you find such high understanding of our relationship with God? I mean, who else is thinking about or explaining or quoting their scriptures, the Shastra reference, that you can approach God and love him in all of these different mellows, and that this is your eternal calling? This is what will satisfy you on the deepest level, is reawakening your original love for God in your natural mellow. So, I found some really, really sweet verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Nectar Devotion, where Srila Prabhupada writes about this Vatsalya Rasa. I remember when I first started coming to the temple, it was during the month of Kartik, and the devotees were telling me about the Damodar pastime. And of course, we recite every day how we're just praying that these childhood pastimes of Krishna may ever be enacted in our hearts, and how attractive and beautiful Krishna is in his child form. I mean, it's just so dear. But however someone is loving Krishna as a youth in the forest of Vrindavan playing his flute, to those who have that conjugal, mellow, loving relationship, that is how Krishna is the most attractive. And to those who are his servants, the cows and the creepers in Vrindavan and the other animals and even some of his personal servants, that is their sweetest, highest, topmost loving relationship with Krishna. So there is a progression of higher and higher and highest love in the rasas, but from the perspective of each individual devotee, the relationship they have with Krishna is the best. And it's perfect and it's complete. But I was very attracted to this, attracted by this understanding that you could love God as your child. Because I had never heard of that before. My Catholic upbringing, I had never heard that that was an option. So it was very intriguing. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Lila chapter 19, Vatsalya Rati is described as follows. When a living entity is situated on the platform of Vatsalya Rati, he thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his childhood feature. In this feature, the Lord has to be protected by the devotee. And at this time, the devotee takes the position of being worshipped by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These feelings of parental love are called Vatsalya Rati. When the devotee is situated on this platform, he wants to maintain the Lord like a son, and he desires all good fortune for the Lord. He offers blessings to the Lord by touching his feet and head. When ecstatic love develops into the relationship of parenthood and becomes steadily established, the relationship is called Vatsalya Ras. The exhibition of this Vatsalya Ras standard of devotional service can be found in the dealings of Krishna with the devotees who represent themselves as superior personalities like father, mother, and teacher. Learned scholars have described the impetus for parental love for Krishna existing in the elderly personalities who are in relationship with him as follows. Quote, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose bodily complexion is just like a bluish, new-grown lotus flower, whose body is black as bees, was walking on the streets of Vrindavan when Mother Yashoda, the beloved wife of Nanda Maharaj, saw him. Immediately the milk began to flow from her breast, soaking her body. Unquote. Some specific provocations for parental love of Krishna are listed as his blackish bodily hue, which is very attractive and pleasing to see, his all-auspicious bodily features, his mildness, his sweet words, his simplicity, his shyness, his humility, his constant readiness to offer respect to the elderly, and his charity. All these qualities are considered ecstatic provocations for parental love. So Mother Yashoda, even though Krishna is understood to be the Lord of Lords and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to the impersonalists, they see him as the impersonal Brahman. But Mother Yashoda, she sees him as her love, her dearmost son. And Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, their love for Krishna is so great. It gives a whole other meaning to the word separation anxiety, right? For those of us who've raised children or raising children, grandchildren, this has become a common phenomena in our modern Kali Yuga era, that the children are growing up, especially infants, they have separation anxiety. Well, of course, the mother is leaving them in a daycare and leaving them for 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours a day, and surprise, surprise, the child has separation anxiety. Well, the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they have a hard time when Krishna just leaves Mother Yashoda's home to go into the forest with the cowherd boys for the day to tend the calves and later the cows. And their anxiety is very intense, this anxiety of separation. So, and they're waiting all day, when is Krishna coming back? They're waiting, they're looking. As it starts to become late afternoon and the sun is starting to begin its descent, they're looking out and where is the dust coming up from the road? Where, you know, they're looking into the distance to see, because when they see that small dust cloud, yes, Krishna's coming home. And the Mother Yashoda, this is a very sweet quote. Once she addressed one of her cowherd lady friends this way. Because again, she's thinking all the time that Krishna is her son. Even though every now and again she gets a glimpse when she looks in Krishna's mouth and sees the universes, or Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill and they're like astonished by some of his pastimes and his killing of the demons. But then again, Yoga Maya covers them over, and again, Krishna's her son. So, in one of the Yoga Maya states, Mother Yashoda says, Nanda Maharaj, the leader of the cowherd men, worshipped Lord Vishnu along with me, and as a result of this worship, Krishna has been saved from the clutches of Putana and other demons. The twin Arjuna trees were, of course, broken due to a strong wind, and although Krishna appeared to have lifted Govardhan Hill along with Balaram, I think that Nanda Maharaj actually held the mountain. Otherwise, How could it have been possible for a little boy to lift such a great hill? So this is from Nectar Devotion, and it's another example of the ecstasy and parental love. Because in this parental love, the devotee is thinking they're superior to Krishna, they must protect Krishna, and that Krishna cannot possibly live without their protection. One devotee therefore prayed to the parents of Lord Krishna as follows: "Let me take shelter of the elderly parental devotees of Lord Krishna. They are always anxious to serve Krishna and to maintain him, and they are always so kind to him. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto them for being so kind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the parent of the whole universe." And another devotee prays, "Let others worship the Vedas and the Upanishads, and let others worship the Mahabharata if they are afraid of material existence and want to become liberated from that condition. But as far as I am concerned, I wish only to worship Maharaj Nanda, because the Supreme Absolute Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is crawling in his courtyard as his own child." So in this Vatsalya Rasa is also Krishna's teacher, Sandipani Muni, and his wife, and of course Vasudeva and Devaki, and Mother Rohini, Mother Balaram. "Let me be given protection by Mother Yashoda, whose curly hairs are bound with thread, whose hair is very brightly beautified by the vermilion placed in the part, and whose bodily frame derides all her ornaments. Her eyes are always engaged in seeing the face of Krishna, and thus they are always filled with tears. Her complexion, which resembles the bluish lotus flower, is enhanced in beauty by her dressing herself with many colorful garments. Let her merciful glance fall on all of us so that we may be protected from the clutches of Maya and smoothly progress in our devotional service." So when Mother Yashoda rises in the morning, first of all, she offers her breast milk to Krishna. Then she chants mantras for his protection. Then she decorates his forehead and binds his arm with protective talismans. So she's always doing everything to protect Krishna. And I found this very sweet description of Nanda Maharaj that I will share with you, and then we'll see if there's any questions or realizations you want to share. The description of Nanda Maharaj's bodily features are as follows. The hairs on his head are generally black, but some of them are gray. His garments are of greenish color, like the new-grown leaves of the banyan tree. His belly is fatty. His complexion is exactly like the full moon, and he has a beautiful mustache. When Krishna was a baby, one day he was walking in the courtyard, capturing the finger of his father, and because he could not walk steadily, he appeared to be almost falling down. While Nanda Maharaj was giving protection to his transcendental son in this way, all of a sudden, there were drops of tears in his eyes, and he became overwhelmed with joy. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of King Nanda. Okay. So I'll end there. We can all have a meditate on the great devotion and very special service of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. And if anyone has any questions or would like to share something,
which is mustache and his greenish garment and stuff. Do you remember that? The painting? I said there is a painting with Nanda Maharaj.
Yes.
Holding Krishna like that and, you know, green garment. Nice.
There's also some letters from Srila Prabhupada to Jadarani. She's painting the first pictures of Nanda Maharaj. And Prabhupada was describing his age and his, some of these descriptions of that.
Nice. Where you got that?
I was just looking at that and...
Where you got it from?
I'm thinking it's from the Nectar of Devotion, but I'm not 100%. It might be Bhagavatam.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking the Vatsala Rasa, though, that role, it's somewhat limited. I mean, like, to be Krishna's parent, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like there's too many devotees strive for that role. I don't know. I mean, you could share some insight. I'm thinking it's more or less.
Oh, you mean limited who gets to have that special position? Position. Well, it's described that elsewhere that Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, they're eternal. That's their service eternally. They're nitya siddhas, never. Whereas Devaki and Vasudev, they actually worship the Supreme Lord to have him as their son. So their perfection as Krishna's parents came through Sadhana City. They came through their service and worship. Yes and no, limited, because when you're reading a lot of our scriptures, all of those elderly residents of Vrindavan, of Mathura, of Dwarka, all of them have that Vatsalya Ras. Krishna is serving them as his elders and touching their feet and following their orders, and they're protecting him, they're instructing him. So there's many, many, many devotees, pretty much like all of his elders have that Vatsalya Ras in Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan. And so are all the spots taken? Well, no, because Krishna's pastimes are unlimited. So it's not like, oh, we're too late, the lottery ticket's gone, you know, we don't have a chance. So if somebody, I mean, and in the Nectar Devotion, it's described by our acharyas that all of these rasas are available to each and every one of us. So It's not limited.
Interesting, we don't really hear about them as much. We hear about them so recently.
Oh, about the Vatsalya Ras?
Yeah, we don't hear about
we don't really hear about gopis and gopas who are elderly, like you said, and they're in Vatsalya Ras. We just hear about, like, the gopis, the younger ones who are in Dasya Ras, I mean, in Sakya Ras and Madhurya Ras, so... Like you said, they're probably there, but we just don't hear much about them.
You can find. There's a lot to be found. We have, especially as more and more of the Goswami's literatures are being translated by qualified devotees and into English, there's a lot that's written. But yeah, it's there's actually so much. There's so much that we can find and meditate on. And by taking shelter, by praying to these great devotees, more can be revealed. It's unlimited. So, yes.
Sometimes we also had that relationship with Prabhupada, whether he was ill and when you were cooking or cleaning, you were very conscious and had that kind of affectionate feeling towards him. And I think many of the men also who were servants. And there was a simplicity about Prabhupada that brought that out, I think, in his devotees.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's very nice to meditate on. And yes, it is there. And also that it is described in Nectar Devotion that there can be more than one rasa. Again, things are not limited. We tend to think in a linear way, but with Krishna, you know, those lines, those divisions, those boundaries get broken all the time.
Krishna had all rasas going on at the same time. He had his friends, and he was a child, and he had his gopis, and how Krishna's never, he's so exciting, he's never boring, he's got everything going on at once, all the time, and even in the human form, we have so many relationships, so it's kind of interesting that, it's a reflection, but however perverted it may be, he allows us to have a variety of relationships which in this world, it's like key number one is relationships, and you're such an expert relationship person that you can see with so many people how if the relationships are not perfect, then it creates such a disturbance. But all of Krishna's relationships were perfect in every way. The exchange was perfect. And that is an extremely profound way of looking, as you say, about God and his relationships in every way. It's just extraordinary to hear and to slightly observe some of his pastimes. So thank you for a beautiful class. Appreciate it.
Actually, I'm so grateful to the devotees who've taken the time to key in all of Srila Prabhupada's books and letters and lectures, and there's so much. I mean, the resources, Vanipedia and Bhaktivedanta Book Trust and Krishna.com. It's wonderful. I mean, if you just want to research, you know, the different relationships of different devotees, there's so much there. And like I said, and more books coming all the time. Authorized books in our Sampradaya that are being translated. So it's one of the qualities that, and I'm not going to remember the reference, but that devotees hear about Krishna without their conversation. They hear and chant about Krishna without the conversation being diverted to other topics. I read that line and I was like, yeah, that's what happens. I start out thinking or talking about Krishna, and I end up over there. And I, it's like, and back into the mundane throes of the consciousness and the topics, the katha. I thought, wow, this is like being pointed out that hearing and chanting about Krishna without being diverted to someone or something else. And that this is why we are advised to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, and all of them, not just the gopis, because Krishna is their life and soul, their complete absorption, their complete service. There is nothing they do that isn't for the pleasure of Krishna. And even Srimati Radharani, when she's feeling such acute pain and separation from Krishna, when she comes before Krishna, she's chastising him out of love. Do you know how much you're making your parents suffer? Do you know that they can't exist without you? Never mind my own unhappiness. Do you want to kill your mother and father, Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj? They've become lifeless because you've neglected them and not returned to Vrindavan. They don't want to see you in your crown and your jewels and your princely dress. They want you back in Vrindavan with them and with the cows and your cowherd friends. And how could you just forget them and let them suffer like this? So even, you know, the relationships are all, like you said, they're all shared. You know, they have this complete, 100% addiction to the topics of the Lord, to hearing and chanting and serving Krishna 24 hours a day. And I mean, they don't even have time like we have time, but and how Krishna expands himself so that his pastimes are going on simultaneously in Vrindavan and in Dwarka and in Mathura and in the spiritual world and in other universes. And it's so captivating that this is the Lord of our hearts. This is who Srila Prabhupada has introduced us to. This is who we get to love and serve for the rest of eternity. I was looking at one book I was referencing, totally mundane novel, but it's something to do with my work. And there was a discussion, like a professor had asked the kids in the class, how many of you see yourself living on clouds? In other words, if that's your only concept of heaven, who wants it? It's like, no, I'll stay here and have the internet, thank you. You know, right? I mean, so, I read that and it was like shocking, like, wow, yeah, if that's all you have, who wants it? If that's the goal, clouds and hearts, how long? How long are you going to do that for? Or impersonal Brahman. Okay, you get to negate all those painful relationships. Our experiences, relationships are painful. You get to negate those. You get to go away. You get to just be in the bliss of Brahman. Again, for how long? I mean, I was just on a writing retreat, a personal writing retreat, for 6 weeks, and about the without anyone there, and after about 3 weeks, it was great for hearing and chanting and writing, but I got lonely. And I had Skype, and I had a phone, and I still got lonely. It was like not enough activity. And I was thinking, because I was writing about Brahman realization and the different stages of God realization, and I was like, yeah, it doesn't work. How long can you be in that suspended state? So whether it's clouds and harps and angels, or whether it's Brahman realization, it doesn't cut it, because our original nature is to be a loving, ecstatic servant of Krishna with all kinds of variety, with all kinds of relationships and all kinds of emotion. So that all of that causes us pain in this realm because it's misplaced. Because it's centered around, I'm this body and these are my family members and they're their body and, you know, these things are happening on the, you know, in the greater world because everybody's their body and everybody's got the skin disease and all of that. So it's, that's our reference point. Fortunately, by Srila Prabhupada's kindness and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, now we have a new reference point. We have the opportunity to be immersed in a completely new language of emotions and relationships and feelings and love. And all the different kinds of love that exist in the person of Krishna.
Could not Varuna just go and see Krishna? Why should he? Why he had to kidnap his father in order to see Krishna? I mean, why couldn't he just go and see him?
Well,
that was like questioning him during that time.
So why didn't Krishna just go and why didn't Varuna just go and see Krishna? Well, Varuna didn't kidnap him. His servant brought him.
Yeah, that's another thing.
And so there's a little removed the responsibility, but he was very happy. When Nanda Maharaj came, he seated him on the throne, he worshipped him, and he knew Krishna would be there soon, so he didn't like immediately return Nanda Maharaj. He was, although it happened pretty fast. As soon as the cowherd men wailed, Krishna came right away.
And how could his servant even approach the Nanda Maharaj, because they are on different levels? You know, from the Damodara level, no one could untie Krishna after the trees were broken. Only Nanda Maharaj could untie that, because the tie was, you know, was made by Mother Yashoda, who is in the same relationship. So, you know, how could they couldn't untie Krishna, right? So he is a very powerful personality, and he's on a very high level. How could a mere servant of Varuna even arrest him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe, well, my speculation is maybe he took some kind of mic form of him, just like Ravana took Sita, you know, just for Leela, because otherwise it's a little bit...
Well, or Krishna allowed it to happen because he wanted, I mean, because what's going to happen, I didn't want to do the spoiler alert, what's going to happen in tomorrow and the next day's verses is the passage continuing, so stay tuned. Krishna can also, you know, hear in today's verse and the previous verses that Krishna is showing that he is the Lord of Lords, that these demigods are worshiping and serving him. So we're all very spoiled because Srila Prabhupada introduced us to Krishna as the Supreme Lord, the origin of Vishnu, all of the demigods as his servants. But that's not the... most people taking birth in India, taking birth, you know, at least modern India, they're very confused. I talked to people over and over again that said they had no idea Krishna was the Supreme until they read Prabhupada's book. So it's not that everybody got it, or that everybody who was on earth when Lord Krishna appeared understood that he was the Supreme. So through these transcendental pastimes, the Lord showed time and time again that he was the Supreme, is the Supreme. And even the demigods themselves became forgetful sometimes, and Krishna showed them. Even after Indra did his whole, you know, apology and, oh, I'm such a fool, then when Krishna came through and stole the Parijata flower, Indra fought with him. It's like, whoa, he forgot again? But Prabhupada said conditioned soul means forgetful. So how many times do we forget in our life, in our day, in our moment to moment? So it could be that it's Krishna arranged it for that purpose.
Aruna worshippers? I mean, are there any
not necessarily, no, but to establish himself as supreme. That Varuna is his servant. Even Nanda Maharaj, there was this rasa, and that's why I said spoiler alert for the next couple of days, Nanda Maharaj was astonished to see this powerful demigod is worshipping my son. And he goes back and tells the coward man, like, you know, again, like, who is this kid? So, and it's sweet. It's sweet. I was thinking how, not along those lines, how can he kidnap him, but I was thinking how, in the Lord's pastimes, normally in a human body, you can't just go underwater and hang out there for hours without any tanks on or wetsuits or whatever else. So I was like, oh, so even that, there's something happening, some energy either of Varuna's, that he's able to be under the sea without any other breathing apparatus, or Krishna. But that's never even discussed, is how are they under the water? So I don't know. And sometimes Prabhupada said to his disciples, he said, for so many questions, you'll just have to go there. So let's go to Krishna's pastimes, let's go to the transcendental abode of the Lord, and we'll have it. But it's nice to talk about and think about and meditate on. So thank you for your question. Maybe someone else has actually realized the pastime and can answer it better. Thank you. Jai, all glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Nanda Maharaj.